Well, thank you, Chris. And I'd like to thank APCA for this invitation to participate today. APCA's designed the conference as an opportunity to get you a three-hour briefing on all the current issues in the Australian payment system. They've asked me to provide a summary on what's happening in the regulatory sphere. I'm going to focus on two areas. The first of them is innovation, Chris. The first is the initiatives that came out of the 2012 conclusions of the bank's strategic review of innovation in the payment system. The most prominent outcome of the review was that the bank asked the payments industry to consider ways of filling the gaps in the payment system that had been identified in the review. The background to the review was a growing amount of evidence that the services provided to end users of the Australian payment system were starting to fall behind the services available to end users in some other countries. But as you know, the industry, coordinated very well by APCA, proposed a project which has been developed over the past 3 years to build some new industry infrastructure, which will be called the New Payments Platform. The NPP will deliver real-time, data-rich payments to end users all on a 24/7 basis. It'll also be a platform for all sorts of other innovative services, many of which we can't yet imagine. The bank's been heavily involved in this project. It's one of the 12 financial institutions that have agreed to fund the build of the NPP and to connect to it when it goes live. The bank's also developing a new service, the Fast Settlement Service, which will provide real-time settlement of NPP transactions. My colleagues in Payment Settlements Department in the bank are making very good progress on the FSS. Now, Paul Layef, the chair of NPP Australia Limited, will be speaking to you in more detail about the status of the NPP. But I can tell you that the Payment System Board, having encouraged this project, has been taking a close interest in it and has been very pleased by the excellent collaboration in the that's been occurring in the industry. A second initiative coming out of the Strategic Review of Innovation was that the bank called for the establishment of an enhanced industry coordination body. The intention was that this body should take a more strategic view than the existing industry governance bodies, and should have membership from a wider range of institutions than had traditionally been the case for APCA. It was also to have high-level representation with individuals who are more able to commit their organisations to courses of actions that have been agreed by the group. I'm happy to say there's been very good progress here. The Australian Payments Council held its first meeting in late 2014. And as you will have heard in the first session today, it's recently been consulting on an Australian payments plan, seeking views on long-term trends, systemic challenges, and desirable characteristics for the payment system. The first meeting between the Payment System Board and the Payments Council occurred in August. The board is looking forward to seeing the progress that the council can make on its payments plan. We think the council may be a useful vehicle for the payments industry, including the bank, to think about some of our legacy payment systems, in particular the future of the cheque system. Fraud, digital identity and cybersecurity are also other areas where there could be real benefits to industry collaboration. Of course, they're not just issues for the payment system. Cybersecurity and digital identity were referred to in the government's response to the FSI, and they're also issues that touch on the entire financial system and indeed the broader economy. The second issue I'd like to cover today is the bank's ongoing review of card payments regulation. In its March 2014 submission to the FSI, the bank indicated that it would be reviewing some aspects of the regulatory framework for card payments. The final report of the FSI, which was released in December of 2014, endorsed the broad nature of the bank's reforms over the past decade or more, but it noted a few areas where the inquiry believed that the existing framework could be improved. The bank released an issues paper in March this year, inviting submissions on a broad range of issues in card payments regulation, including those that had been raised in the FSI report. I'm going to touch on four of those issues. The first is the growing lack of transparency of payment costs to many merchants. While interchange fees on credit and debit cards are currently subject to benchmarks that have to be observed every 3 years, there's been a tendency for the two large international four-party schemes to promote new high-interchange, high-rewards cards. At the same time, they've introduced lower interchange rates for strategic or other preferred merchants. These merchants get the same low interchange rate for credit cards, as low as 20 basis points, on all of their transactions, even if a super premium high-rewards card is presented. But smaller merchants and others who don't benefit from strategic rates pay interchange rates of up to 200 basis points on their transactions. Furthermore, when presented with a card, these merchants may have no way of knowing if it is a card with a 30 basis point interchange rate or a 200 basis point rate. So the issues that we've raised are the growing lack of transparency of payment costs for many merchants and the growing wedge in average payment costs between preferred and non-preferred merchants. Second, the bank is consulting on whether it would be desirable to lower the interchange benchmarks or to make other changes to the system, such as to have more frequent compliance. One issue here is that the behaviour of schemes and issuers under the current three-yearly compliance system is seeing average interchange rates rising significantly above the benchmark in between compliance dates. The third issue is whether it would be desirable to extend the coverage of the regulatory framework for interchange payments. This is especially relevant in the case of companion cards, in particular bank-issued American Express cards, which have issuer fees and other payments that are equivalent in many respects to interchange payments. The final major issue for the review is concerns over excessive surcharging in some industries. There's a balance to be struck here between ensuring that merchants have the right to surcharge for expensive payment methods, including some cards, and ensuring that they don't surcharge excessively. Excessive surcharging is not a widespread problem, but I think we can all point to a few cases where there are genuine concerns. The board is keen to take action here. The Payment System Board discussed the review in its August meeting, and it will be discussing it again at its November meeting. In preparation for discussions about possible changes to the regulatory framework, the board has recently taken a decision to designate five payment systems. These are the American Express Companion Card System, the Debit MasterCard System, and the FPOS MasterCard and Visa prepaid card systems. Now, designation does not impose regulation, nor does it commit the bank to a regulatory course of action. Rather, it's the first of a number of steps that the bank must take to exercise any of its regulatory powers. Any proposals to apply regulation to designated systems through standards or access regimes are subject to requirements for detailed consultation. Designation of these five systems will allow a more holistic consideration of the issues, including issues such as the regulatory treatment of companion cards and prepaid cards, as the bank continues with the review of the regulatory framework and considers the case for changes to the framework. As you know, there's been a lot of discussion of the issues that the review is focusing on. Banks, payment schemes, consumer organisations and merchants have been able to express their views in at least four different contexts. The original FSI call for submissions, submissions on the FSI's interim report, the government's call for comments on the FSI final report, and also in responses to the bank's issues paper. And in turn, the industry will have seen the bank's views in at least three vehicles, the bank's two submissions to the FSI in 2014 and its issues paper from March this year. We've received over 40 submissions and responses to the issues paper, and all non-confidential submissions have been published on our website. The bank also hosted an industry roundtable in June and has held around 40 meetings with stakeholders. Overall, I'd say that there appear to be some areas where there is common ground among most stakeholders. For example, there's fairly wide acceptance that the widening of the international scheme's interchange fee schedules has created issues in terms of the rising cost of card payments to non-preferred merchants and the declining transparency of the cost of card payments to them. There's also general agreement that it would be good to deal with instances of excessive surcharging. However, there are other areas where there are real differences in the views expressed by different stakeholders. These include issues such as whether companion card arrangements should be subject to regulation, and whether there might be a case for a reduction in the interchange fee benchmarks. It'll be up to the board to weigh up the arguments on some of these contentious issues, balancing the issues of consumers, businesses, financial institutions, and card schemes. As always, its considerations will be based on its mandate to promote competition and efficiency in the payment system. And let me stress again that if the board decides to propose changes to the regulatory framework, the bank will, as usual, undertake a thorough consultation process on any draft standards. Finally, as you'll know, the government released its response to the FSI yesterday. Its response referred to the bank's review and noted that it was looking forward to the bank completing its work on the issues of interchange fees and surcharging. The government also indicated that will ban excessive surcharging and give the ACCC enforcement power in this area. I would expect that once the board has provided greater clarity on what constitutes excessive surcharging, we will work closely with Treasury and the ACCC on legislation. I expect we'll end up with a framework where the board has decided on a narrower definition of costs of acceptance and allowable surcharges, and where the bank will be able to count on help from the ACCC in the enforcement of the new framework. So let me conclude by thanking the industry for its engagement with the bank on all of the issues I've discussed today, and I'd now be happy to answer any questions.
So are there questions for Tony? Very topical matter with FSI coming out just yesterday. While the audience is thinking, I was keen to drill into the surcharging point a little bit. My read, and I'm interested to hear your comments just at the end there, my read of the FSI response from the government was essentially that they were letting the RBA off the hook a little bit on surcharging, in the sense that it is so hard to police and enforce compliance of, and going to solve that with a statutory regime, but what you've said indicates that actually it's going to be more of a collaborative process amongst the government instrumentalities. Did you want to comment a little bit more on that?
Yeah. The right to surcharge is something that contributes to holding down payment costs, and clearly by holding down payment costs, like any other input costs to businesses, you contribute to keeping downward pressure on the cost of goods and services to consumers. Now, as it turns out, many merchants choose not to surcharge on any payment method, but the ones that do surcharge cards are typically the ones that face higher than average payment costs because they get a lot of the expensive payment cards, for example, the high rewards cards. And typically those merchants don't surcharge excessively. But certainly there are a few areas where merchants are surcharging excessively. I'm certainly not going to defend those firms. Indeed, the bank said in its original submission to the FSI in March 2004 that excessive surcharging was something we would be looking into, and that we would be considering if further action by the bank, the ACCC, or ASIC was appropriate. It was difficult for the bank to do anything more while the FSI was underway. Mm. But once the FSI report was out, we put out our issues paper where excessive surcharging was one of the main issues. The government has now said that the bank should complete its work on the review, that the bank will come up with a framework to determining what surcharges are appropriate, and then will then have help from the ACCC in enforcement if that is required. But the bank has been having discussions with the ACCC and Treasury over a number of months, and we are keen to have a more enforceable framework. And if we also have enforcement power from the ACCC, then that's a very good outcome.
Right. I'm sure the industry would be heartened to hear as well that there'd be a lot of collaboration with all of the history the RBA already has in the space. Are there some other questions? Lance.
Similar to surcharging but getting a lot less airtime is the minimum that some merchants put on accepting card payments, which is keeping cash in the economy. And as we know, there are lots of different reasons to accept cash, but a number of those merchants will be using it to hide income or avoid GST. Is there any view in the bank around those minimums?
I think probably our view here would be that one should give merchants the freedom to accept or not accept the payment methods that make most sense for them. And I'm aware that some merchants, there's the story of the butcher shop, I'm not sure where it is, but which has chosen to not accept cash and only accept cards. And providing that's disclosed, that customers know that that's their policy, then that's fine. But I think if merchants are saying it is too expensive for me to accept cards for low value amounts, the solution is not to say you must accept cards for low value amounts. It's to say, well, is it the case that that cards are more expensive than they need to be for merchants? So I suspect that many of the merchants you're talking about are what we'll call the non-preferred merchants that are not getting the benefits of strategic interchange rates. So that one of the issues that we're looking at in the review might well help in that respect. But the bank in general has a neutral view over what form of payment people use. I think our main consideration is to make sure that there are not restrictive rules that stop where particular parties in the payment system use their market power to impose rules on end users.
All right, perhaps time for one more question. John Kavanagh.
In its final report, the FSI actually laid out a solution for how it would regulate surcharging, excessive surcharging, the three-tiered model. And the government didn't comment about that yesterday, but in responses to the final report, most of those submissions that did comment on it were critical of it, including APCA. And I'm just wondering, do you think that that's the solution that would be followed? Do you have a view about that solution, or do you... Do you have a view that there's an alternative way of doing it?
This is something that is going to be considered in the review that we're working on right now. I would share your observation that it's a I think you made the observation that it's a fairly complicated framework. I think the preliminary direction that the bank is looking is to say, well, the reasonable cost of acceptance is, or the cost of acceptance is a reasonable framework for thinking about what the allowable surcharge should be, but let's make sure that that it's defined in a fairly narrow way so that it's quite observable what the cost of acceptance of a merchant is, and then if it's quite observable as to the merchant's cost acceptance, it becomes much more apparent when the merchant is surcharging in excess of its cost of acceptance. So that's my initial reaction as to the sort of direction that the bank would be heading, and I think that's consistent with the comments made by the Treasurer and the Prime Minister yesterday.
All right. I'm going to take one more question. Is there one more down the back there? Yeah, it's Sean. Hey, yeah.
Right. I think the question was, could I give more guidance as to what we think the reasonable cost of acceptance might be across different industries? I think we probably should think of this as being a merchant-specific thing, that there'll be some merchants that have got a very low cost of acceptance, and they will probably choose not to surcharge. But in the event they did, they could only surcharge at particularly low levels. Merchants that face higher costs of acceptance would be presumably justified in charging higher surcharges if they choose to surcharge. So I don't think you'd be looking at it in terms of industry limits. I think it should be based on the costs of particular merchants, their circumstances, but the important thing is to make is to look for a definition of the cost of acceptance that is quite transparent, measurable, and so you end up with a framework that's enforceable.
All right. Thank you very much, Tony. Please join me in thanking Tony.